from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, yo, yo! What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. It is now April 2nd, 2015. Hope you're having a great one out there. It is already Thursday, folks. We are now just 2 days away from the Final Four down in Indianapolis, Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium as the Michigan State Spartans will be taking on Duke just after 6 p.m. Again, I want to remind you all that we will be in the house for that game. Keep it locked to WKAR.org for coverage of that very game and all things Spartan tourney. All right, folks. But we've got a fantastic radio show for you today. Now, as always, each and every Thursday, I give you guys a sneak peek into the Current Sports TV sit-down, whoever it may be. And this week, I had the privilege of sitting down with John Johnson, who is the Communications Director for the MHSAA. You don't want to miss that. We'll also have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll talk about Justin Verlander, talk a little Pistons and Wings, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, again, for this April 2nd. For those that cannot make it to Indianapolis, the Associated Students of Michigan State University have sponsored a free showing of the NCAA Final Four at the Breslin Center. How about that? Now, the game will be displayed on the Breslin Center's high-definition scoreboard. Doors will open at 5 p.m. on Saturday at Gate B, and the event will close an hour after the game is over. Concessions will also be sold during the event. So it's kind of like, you know, you're right there at the game, but you're just watching it on the big screen at the Briz. How about that? Now, tip off again between the Spartans and Duke will take place a little after 6 p.m. All right, according to USA Today, the Michigan State's men's basketball coach, Tom Izzo, ranks fifth in total pay this year among coaches in this year's NCAA men's basketball tourney. Now, Kentucky, Duke, Louisville, and Kansas pay its coaches more than the $4 million that Izzo earned this year. The average compensation for coaches in the tournament this season is just over $1.5 million. And ready to this, Tom Izzo, the fact that he made the Final Four this year, has a clause in his contract that does allow him to get a nice little pay bump on the heels of next year. So how about that? Just rolling in the dough. Hey, Izzo, shoot me some moolah, man. Come on. All right, Michigan State women's basketball. They fell to UCLA 69-65 in the WNIT semis last night. Michigan fought until the very end, tying the game at 63 on a pair of free throws by Shannon Smith with a minute and 39 left to play, but the Wolverines couldn't pull out the W. Now, Smith scored 20 points while Shaisha Gori recorded a double-double with 11 points and 10 boards. All right, well, it is official. Jake Ruddup will be a graduate transfer to the University of Michigan and immediately eligible to compete this fall. Now, Ruddup, of course, was a two-year starter at Iowa at the quarterback position before giving a, quote, no-strings-attached release from coach Kirk Ferentz. In his 2 years as Iowa starter, he threw for 4,819 yards, 34 TDs, and 18 INTs, interceptions. All right, the Michigan Athletic Department has contracted with the Adidas sports apparel wear for its sponsorship since 2007, but after 8 years rocking Adidas and having the largest known contract in the country, the Wolverines are considering a bit of a change. Now, according to the Michigan Daily, U of M Athletic Director Jim Hackett said the AD department is reevaluating its options and considering switching back to Nike, to Under Armour, or possibly staying with Adidas. So we'll keep you, give you an update as the weeks proceed when it comes to that story. All right, the Detroit Pistons, oh man, they suffered a 102-78 loss to the Charlotte Hornets last night, essentially putting them really out of the playoffs. The Pistons are now 5.5 games out of the final spot in the Eastern Conference with just 7 games remaining. Andre Drummond and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope were in foul trouble most of the night while Reggie Jackson labored through illness and turned a right ankle. Detroit Red Wings, they host the Boston Bruins tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Wings will be looking for a strong finish to the regular season after recording a 5-8-2 record in the month of March. The Red Wings have six games to right the ship before the playoffs, currently holding down the seventh spot. Boston, which trailed Detroit by 12 points on March 4th, suddenly is 2 points behind in the standings. And last but certainly not least, the Detroit Tigers. They announced that Justin Verlander will start the season on the disabled list. Now, Verlander has been dealing with a tricep strain, which had originally been thought of as a cramp. The team expects JV to be ready for an April 12th start. This is the former Cy Young winner's first ever trip on the disabled list. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527 right now. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. Or even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. And if you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least shoot me a follow. Without further ado, how about we start the show? All right. How are you doing out there, beautiful people? Man, it is one fantastic day in the world of Mid Michigan once again. It's about, I would say, about 60 degrees outside. I really didn't need a jacket today, but I grabbed one anyway because I'm kind of feeling under the weather a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, nose is kind of stuffy. Anytime the weather flip flops like this, you know, 1 week when it's really cold to all of a sudden, you know, an exponentially, you know, spike in the temperature here in the area from, you know, 40 not too long ago, 30 or 40 not too long ago to now 60, it bothers me a little bit. So I'm laboring a little bit, but hey, it's always a great time anytime on the air, and I get to talk to you guys, all right? Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Again, tweet me at AlMartinWKR, leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Later on in the show, again, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you where we take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. You don't want to miss that. We'll also chat about Tom Izzo ranking fifth in pay among all tourney coaches for this year. And yes, it's Thursday, and we love to give you guys a sneak peek into whatever sit-down occurs on that Thursday night's Current Sports TV. And this Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKR-TV, this week I had the privilege of sitting down with John Johnson, who is the communications director for the MHSAA. Actually, yesterday marked his work anniversary. He has been with the MHSAA now for 29 years. How about that? Congratulations, John. That is fantastic stuff. And he's actually been the only communications director in the history of the MHSAA. That is fantastic. You got to have a gold star to do something like that, my man. And John is certainly, he's widely considered as the, quote, hardest working man in high school sports. So if you want a sneak peek into that interview, well, hey, you tuned in at the right time during the right place. All right, folks, we'll give you a sneak peek into that interview later on in the show. But first, I want to start the show by actually going to our phone lines, actually. Before we get to this whole Tiger talk and Pistons and Wings, let's go to our phone lines right now. Let's start things off early with our phone lines. We've got Mike from Saginaw on line one. My man, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing there, man? Have a good Friday. You working Good Friday?
I am. Yeah, Good Friday, I'm assuming, is what, tomorrow, right? Yeah, before Easter, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be heading to Indy. Alex and I are actually heading to Indy to cover the tourney, my man.
Okay, then. What I was going to ask you before you go to Indy, I wanted to talk to you. You didn't say nothing about the high school finals. About Detroit Western, or you didn't say anything about Henry Ford. I was just wanting to hear your opinion on the high school finals because I know there was two undefeated teams, the Pontiac's Powers North Central from the UP, the Detroit West, and then you had the one-loss teams like Flint Beecher and Wyoming Godman Heights. What you think about the teams that won the state championship that only lost yeah. only two games out of the four division? What you think?
Well, first off, it was very entertaining. I was actually down at the Breslin Center for the past 2 weeks covering not only the boys but the girls' high school championship finals as well. And, you know, I was actually at the game, Lansing Everett taking on, of course, Saginaw Arthur Hill. And I tell you what, that was the most entertaining game for me from a local perspective because, of course, you know, us being in Lansing, we cover a lot of the local hoops around the area or any of the local schools around the area. And getting a chance to see first, you know, the second runner-up for the Mr. Basketball Award in Eric Davis take on third runner-up Trevor Manuel, that was pretty entertaining. Definitely was hoping that Everett would have possibly graced that state championship game against Detroit International. They went on to win the Class A state championship. But, you know, from a local perspective, Mike, here in Mid-Michigan, it was just awesome to see that Lansing Everett, a team who, looking at last year, Mike, they only won 5 games last year. And mm-hmm. to see the change around and to see, of course, a lot of it had to do with Trevor Manuel coming to this ball club after being in Oak Hill during his junior year and coming back to the area. I mean, just seeing him completely dominate and really turn around this team. Also want to shout out Jamiron Jackson, who's only, I believe, just a junior at Lansing Everett. I mean, man, how good was he? I think he kind of got overshadowed by the play of Manuel throughout the year, but Jamiron Jackson had a fantastic season. Actually, in that last game against Saginaw Arthur Hill, he actually outscored Trevor in that game. Now, Trevor, granted, he put up about 16 points, 15 boards, had a double-double. Jamiron Jackson didn't put up a double-double, but he had about 20 points in that game. It was just fantastic to see from a local perspective in this area, just a lot of teams really compete. I was really shocked, though, that really, you know, only one or two teams actually got a chance to go down to the Breslin, from the boys' perspective at least. And all of the girls that we had to go in the state championship, you know, teams like Hazlitt, DeWitt, I mean, those teams got there, but none of them won a state championship. So no local state championships from around the area was a little bit shocking to me.
Hey, you know what? You know where Wyoming at? Wyoming, Michigan at?
Yeah, I know the area. Yeah.
Okay, then, because it's kind of different to see a team like that, the Wyoming State. They haven't won. They haven't been to the quarterfinals or since 1960. That's been 55 years. So I was just amazed at a team that at the like the Detroit Western. They never won a state championship since 1922, so I just get a kick out of that when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Man. Did you get a chance to go to any of the games at the Brez, Mike?
You know what? No, I did not. I really like to go, man. You know,
right.
I'm on my spring break up here now with the school kids, but I just wish I could go.
Right. No, I hear you, man. It's always a fun time, yeah.
Here's what I really like to ask you before I get on him. What do you think about Shaka Smart? He's always the guy always they looking for jobs. They want to it seems like he doesn't like his. Do you think he really like being at VCU, or he just want a bigger challenge? What you think?
Well, I think when you look at it, you know, and again, you know, this is it's been, I guess, rumored. I don't think anything is set in stone right now, but of course Texas has certainly been vying to possibly snag Shaka Smart from VCU to become the head coach, men's basketball coach at Texas. But I tell you what, you know, I think anytime you have a coach who, you know, VCU isn't a basketball powerhouse. Let's be honest here, Mike. I mean, when you look at the basketball history for VCU, it doesn't stack up against the Kentuckys and, the Michigan States, for that matter, the Kansases of the college hoop world. So when you look at a program like Texas, who has, you know, a pretty solid history when it comes to success in men's basketball, hey, from his perspective, he may be looking at more moolah, more notoriety. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times did we talk about VCU throughout the entire college basketball year? I didn't even mention him once until the tourney started. So for Shaka, when you look at an opportunity like this to go to a school like Texas, it's not the matter of the fact that he doesn't like being at VCU. He could very well love the kids, love the environment there. But when an opportunity to go to a bigger program presents itself, you at least got to weigh that option, Mike.
You know, because I'm thinking about him and Greg Marshall. He finally said, wait, what's the big deal about going to Texas and Alabama and these programs? It seems like those schools are football-only schools. And why go up there and just be – I like what Greg Marshall doing. At least he's staying at a place where he's winning and he'd be able to get players and be able to build his program, man, not going to no Alabama or no going to no Texas where you – where you got all of, so you get down there, now you got the alumni and the fans, they just want, you know, they don't have the stature of a basketball program where you probably, the environment, it's just like the environment, you can get the more money and stuff, but sometimes it's a lot of coaches that do that. Mm-hmm. They wind up getting fired after 3 or 4 years. You know, you go like to Tennessee or you go to lately you've been going to like the St. Paul University or DePaul or places like that where you wind up getting fired after 3 or 4 years and you're a winning coach at your school where you at. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's a very, very good point, Mike. I mean, why go to a program that doesn't have as solid as a foundation in college hoops as your current program? Because if you look at it, I mean, Smart, who's what, like 37 years old right now, he has a 163-56 record in 6 years at VCU, with his teams winning 26 or more games in each season. That is remarkable. And he has taken the Rams to the NCAA tournament in each of the past 5 years, including that, of course, Final Four berth, if you remember, back in 2011. So Smart has established certainly a solid foundation. And when you look at it, I mean, taking into account everything you just said, Mike, I just think at the end of the day, I think Texas may be throwing a lot of money at him. Because, you know, at the end of the day, money does talk. If Texas is willing to shell out a big contract for Shaka Smart, I think you may see him leave. And at the end of the day, money talks.
Okay. I want to talk about MSU. I really want to talk about Brandon Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
If he was in this climate, would he have left college after a year or two? What do you think?
Oh, that's a good question because, of course, we know the journey that Brandon Dawson has taken to get to now his senior year at Michigan State. Of course, earlier on in his MSU basketball career, he was hampered with injuries. The constant ACL injuries the big ACL injury that he had on his knee, coupled with a few other injuries here and there. But now we're starting to see him, you know, healthy. We saw last year, near the end of last year, how he had that breakout, just emergence in the Big Ten tourney that bled over into the NCAA tourney. And now we're starting to see him. I've said this all year, that this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. He is the heart and soul of this team. He is the engine that runs this car. He brings so much emotion and energy. He's so athletic. I don't know if Brandon Dawson is a guy. I don't know. This is debatable. And I thank you for bringing this up, Mike, because I don't know if Brandon Dawson will be successful in the NBA. And that's why I think he stuck around after last season because, yeah, it's all fine and dandy. He had a great end of the year last year. But if you look at Brandon Dawson's game and really pick it apart, he's freakishly athletic. We all know he can jump out the gym and he is a havoc in transition. But when it comes to his offensive game, Brandon Dawson isn't a guy who, other than rebounding, he's a garbage man. You can't. There's been rare times where you can just get a ball to Brandon Dawson and for him to create his own offense. In the
That's
NBA,
right.
I always say you have to be great at something to be successful in the NBA. Brandon Dawson is a guy who does a lot of things good, and he's unbelievably athletic. He gets those 50-50 balls and rebounds, and he plays with a lot of emotion. But I don't know. If he goes to the NBA, let's be honest here, he will be a undersized forward going against, you know, about, you know, 70% of the time on any given night, another forward who is bigger than him. So I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, that athleticism can get him when you talk about success in the NBA. I don't know, Mike.
Because this is a great – this is the reason why I wanted to bring this question and I let you get to other callers here. I'm thinking about – we was just talking about the coaches and they – what about these kids? They go to these colleges for 2 years, like the guy from Arizona, he's talking about leaving. The guy from Kansas, he already left. Obrey. And I'm talking to this guy from LSU. See, some of those schools don't have a basketball foundation. And, I mean, the coaches or players just going out, they just want to get to school, and then they just want to see, well, okay, then, this is how better I'm going to get the program. You know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have that foundation, or they just don't have the will to be a student, mm-hmm. or just be able to work on their games to the NBA. If they do make an NBA roster, they'll be sitting on the bench for a couple years learning the game. You know, like I could say that about Mir Johnson, even though he came out of high school, or, you know, anybody. You know, I figure
right.
it's to the benefit of the kids, but
right.
like I say, everybody looking at all those kids who get into the lottery and all the money they making and all the guaranteed money, and they're really not thinking about their careers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Again,
mm-hmm.
going back to money, Mike,
mm-hmm.
I think that when a lot of these young kids see the potential to be drafted in the first round, an early first round pick, maybe a mid to late first round pick. They know that when you get to the NBA, you are going to make money at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them want to take that chance now to not risk another year in college to possibly, you know, risk injury or some sorts. And they see those dollar signs. And a lot of them, to be frank with you, Mike, they jump the gun a little bit too early. So I definitely agree with you. And again, that's why you see some players just struggle when they come right out of college. So I don't know. We'll see. Only time will tell, though. It's interesting. I was actually watching ESPN last night, and they had Jay Billis on Bill Simmons' show, his NBA Grantland show. And Jay Billis actually, you know, he kind of broke down the Michigan State men's basketball team, and they asked Jay who would have success at the next level in the NBA when it came to the MSU men's basketball team. And a guy that he pointed out that was very surprising to me was Denzel Valentine. Very surprising. So, I don't know. You just never know, because we've seen players who aren't that highly touted coming out of college go on to be juggernauts at the next level. Sometimes
because
you just don't know.
I'm looking at Montrezl Harrell, right, and I'm looking at him. I said he would benefit for another year in college, man, because look at the Elite Eight. All of a sudden, he was scoring baskets. He was passing underneath the basket. And he was, you know, and then the second half come, now you did defense him up and everything, he can't create his own shot.
Right.
He can't even shoot. He needs to work on his mid-range game. So, I don't know, man. I just, like I say, man, I can't do it anymore. So.
Yep. Well, and I see that Louisville guard.
All right, then. You enjoy your Indianapolis trip, man.
Hey, so we'll have coverage. Hey, keep it locked to WKRI.org, Mike. We're going to have a lot of coverage down there, all right?
Definitely.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Yeah, and again, I'm seeing here that sophomore Louisville guard Terry Rozier also entered the NBA draft as well. So, I mean, you're starting to see a lot of players, you know, once their tourney is done with, a lot of players declaring for the NBA draft. It's going to be interesting to see where these guys go. We have Ray online, too. My man, Ray. How you doing?
Skipper.
How you doing, brother?
We got home with a national championship over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, hoping that as well here in Spartan Nation, man. I mean, everybody. I mean, I talked to John Johnson last night of the MHSAA. I asked him to give a prediction, and he's on board. A lot of people are staying positive, man. You can feel the energy here in Sparty land.
I'll tell you what, that Dawson's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
He's a beast. I mean, he didn't do much offensively, but you see that block shot and him knocking that ball away from that guy with the game on the line?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean, Brandon Dawson, he's a guy is going to play defense when he is in tune energy-wise with at the very beginning of the game. I mean, Brandon Dawson just seems to be a man from planet Pluto. I mean, he plays unbelievable, and he's freakishly athletic. That's the biggest asset to Brandon Dawson's game. And once he's in transition, he can do many things. I definitely agree. He has to really show up these next two games, and he has been showing up throughout this entire tourney. If you ask me, Ray.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
It's been bothering me for years and years. Okay?
What's up, man?
It's been about 10 years now, okay?
Wow, this is a big question.
They got the hail to the victors, okay? the bullies up north.
Okay.
And they called you little brothers, right?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are like 5-1 in the Rose Bowl. What are they, 4-26 in the Rose Bowl or something like that?
Okay.
And the basketball team ain't doing anything.
Well, I think the basketball team will be great next year, though, Ray. I will say that. I think Michigan's men's basketball team.
Where are they going to get a center?
They'll be Big Ten favorites, I think, next year. Looking at the talent they have on the squad. Yes, I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the hail to the victors.
The bullies.
Yeah, I'm talking about your bullies.
Where are they going to get a center at?
I think that'll come. But if you look at look at the talent on that team, Ray. I mean, you got Derek Walton Jr. who didn't play this year. You got Caris LeVert. You got Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, who came out of nowhere. Spike Aubrey is playing out of his mind. Aubrey Dawkins has come out of nowhere. I mean, looking at those five names alone.
They did have a rough go. I'll admit they had two serious injuries.
Yeah,
there,
certainly. So you got to cut them some slack on that. I think next year.
I just don't like Beilein. I mean, he's a good coach, but he's not a great coach. Everybody thinks he's better than Tom Izzo.
Well, I
don't see it. I don't see it. Tom Izzo's got two national titles.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that one, Ray.
West Virginia or Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Ray. But if you look at what John, if you would have dealt the cards to any other coach out there other than John Beilein, I don't know if they would have had a lot the success that they had this year as compared to what John Beilein was able to do with a depleted roster. Even though Michigan had two of its biggest stars out this year, they still competed game in and game out, Ray. It was fast. And even they pushed Michigan State to the brink, if you remember.
Well, yeah, until the second game. The second game, I thought you dominated them a little more.
Yeah. But, I mean, looking at their first game, I mean, still, they were a very gritty team. Watch out for them next year, Ray.
Well, let's put it this way. They John Beilein said some things to me that I didn't like as a person.
Oh, okay.
As far as a coach, he's pretty decent, but I don't think he's a great coach. But, you know, they called you guys little brothers. You got a Rose Bowl and you got a Cotton Bowl victory.
Yeah, well.
And they won 7 out of 8 years, they haven't did anything in football. Now, how does that guy get the Iowa quarterback that's been starting for 2 years? How do you get him without
Paying
the Big Ten off to let him come in and play right away for Michigan?
We'll see. I think Jim Harbaugh, he's got some stuff up his sleeve, man. And we had a debate on yesterday's show about, of course, Jim Harbaugh, you know, kind of rubbing Gus Malzahn, head coach of Auburn, the wrong way because he's coming into their camp territory and participating in it to possibly get some recruits down there. Something that the SEC has rules against. They can't go to a camp.
How did he get the Iowa starting quarterback to come in without setting out a year?
Yeah, well, going back to Auburn, in the SEC you can't recruit within 50 miles of outside of your school. So it's interesting, though. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh, watch out. I don't know. I think you're pronouncing Michigan dead before the season has even started yet, Ray. We'll see. Only time will tell,
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the Iowa quarterback was, for the last 2 years, yesterday he was able to come into Michigan
yeah.
and he's not having to set out a year.
Right, right. Exactly, yeah.
How do you do that without paying the Big Ten off?
Yeah, well, we'll have to look into that. I don't know. Alex, do you know the stipulations behind Ruddock and why he is able to come in and play right away?
Well, what I do know is for Bryn Forbes at Michigan State, he was able
to
play.
He got a waiver.
He got a waiver.
Because of personal reasons.
But also, he wanted to be closer to home. Maybe he had some personal things going on. For this guy, there might be something different because he's a graduate student, and he might be able to do some things that the typical undergraduate transfer won't be able to do. So I don't know the exact answer, but I think the fact that he was a graduate student – definitely helps.
Yeah,
quarterback is this guy?
Well, look in here, and this is I think Alex hit it right on the head. I'm looking here right at the article, Ray.
Okay.
The Big Ten waived, of course, the whole thing about, you know, sitting out for the first year after you transfer because graduate transfers are immediately eligible. If you are a graduate transfer, which Jake Ruddock is, he is immediately eligible.
He graduated from school already.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So
now I was wondering. But do you think it's because Michigan's been down for 8 or 10 years that they didn't help them out?
What do you mean?
Well, they don't like Michigan being down. They want them to be up because they got 110,000 people down there.
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime Michigan is...
I think they're trying to help Michigan get back up.
Well, I think that anytime Michigan is competitive in the Big Ten or just in college football in general, I think the sport is healthier, if you ask me. I don't like seeing... Even though, hey, I graduated Michigan State, you know, I got my degree, I bleed green, blase, blase, blah. But at the same time, I like to see Michigan competitive every single year. In whatever sport it is, because it adds more fervor to the win if Michigan State wins. If you have a down year every single year for the past, two or three years now under, of course, Brady Hoke, where Michigan has not been to the same level that it has been in the past, and you got just teams beating up on you every single year, for me, for Michigan State winning, you know, these past, 3 or 4 years, it doesn't mean as much because Michigan just has been so depleted. You gotta take those wins with a grain of salt. Michigan State was expected to win those games against Michigan. So I like when Michigan's competitive. It adds, it makes you tune in more. I don't know.
Well, let me say one more thing before I go, okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
The bullies at the top, swallow your pride and humble yourself. Take care, buddy.
Ray, the one, the only Ray. Oh, boy, it is always a roller coaster ride. You better buckle up anytime Ray calls, man. Let's hit our first break of Current Sports. When we come back, as promised, folks, I'm going to give you a sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with John Johnson of the MHSAA. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the
Welcome back
say.
To Current Sports on this beautiful Thursday, April 2nd. 2015. Again, folks, hopefully you all are having a great Thursday out there. Again, I want to remind you all that Alex and I will be hitting the road tomorrow morning, bright and early, to head down to Indianapolis, Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium and we will have coverage of the Spartans' journey to a possible national championship. Of course, that game will be taking place on Monday. But again, we will have coverage throughout the entire weekend. Keep it locked to WKAR.org each and every day starting tomorrow throughout the weekend for our coverage out there in Indianapolis. Also, we'll have a very special tourney episode, I should say, for next week's Current Sports TV. You don't want to miss that. We're going to film our intro and all of that out there in Indy. So it's going to be a fantastic episode. You don't want to miss any of that. Also, Current Sports TV, it's Thursday, right? So each and every Thursday night, Current Sports TV airs at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. And right here on Current Sports Radio, we love to give you guys a preview of the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. Now, yesterday I got the privilege of sitting down with John Johnson, who is the communications director for the MHSAA. And I tell you what, it was just fantastic to sit down with him and sort of pick his brain. You know, we just had Mike, you know, inquiring about the boys basketball tourney and the state championship winners and whatnot. Of course, you get to see footage from actually Lansing Everett, who, of course, fell in the Class A state semis to Saginaw Arthur Hill. We'll have coverage from that from that game on tonight's Current Sports TV sit down. But it was just really fantastic to sit down with John because, again, he's a guy who's been with the MHSAA for, again, 29 years. And, you know, to see the evolution, he's been able to see it firsthand on how media coverage, again, being communications director, I mean, he handles the coverage media-wise, front and center. He is the guy. I mean, he's coordinator credentials. He's setting up different TV spots and so on and so forth. He's, you know, the liaison between the MHSAA and Fox Sports when it comes to those games being aired. So John has been able to see just how exactly this evolution of sports coverage at the high school level has really evolved over the years. So to start off, though, for those that really don't know what communications director entails, I started off my sit down and interview by asking John that very question.
When I started in, well, let's put it this way, 28 years ago today.
Right, this is your work anniversary.
This is my work anniversary as we tape this today, starting year number 29.
Wow, I should add today, a big cake here. You know?
Well, you didn't know, I'm sorry.
That's all
but
good.
It was first to do souvenir programs.
Okay.
The printed program, and then to oversee everything that we did with the media and with radio and with television. Over time, that got into sponsorships, mm-hmm. and it got into merchandising, and as time has gone on, all of that has mushroomed as far as the kinds of things that we do, to now we have people like Andy Freshour and in brand management, Brad Chase doing marketing, Andy Osters doing social media, Rob Kaminsky doing our website and our publications, Jeff Kimmerly doing the second half, which is a fabulous read if you want to go out and just read on a daily basis things that are happening in high school sports around the state.
Right.
You know, so from that grew, you know, this team. And you were at the basketball final, so you saw us all interacting with each other.
Oh, you guys were very busy. Didn't want to disturb you.
And working together to try to make everything happen. So nowadays, my job may be a little bit more narrow than it used to be, but communications used to involve a whole lot of things, and in some ways it really still does.
Certainly. Now, of course, 29 years to the day,
yep.
You've been at the MHSAA yep. as that same, you know, that same title, communications yep. director. I mean, that's got to be like a gold star for you. I mean, to be and you're actually the only communications director in MHSAA history. How does that make you feel?
Well, first of all, I got to give credit to Jack Roberts. Mm-hmm. When he came here in the fall of 1986, he wanted to have something that the association didn't have before, and that was to have a PR person, a media person, right. You know, somebody that could call, that could be the front person for the association when there were controversies, or just to answer general media questions,
right.
And to do a lot of other things. You know, so I just happened to be the guy who was fortunate enough, you know, to get the job, you know, 29 years ago. And, you know, did I ever think it would parlay into a career? Well, you know, hey, I'm still here.
Right, exactly.
You know,
which is a good thing.
You know, and they say, hey, they hired me on April Fool's Day and the guy kept coming back. You know, so.
Right, today technically is April Fool's Day.
So, as we tape this.
How ironic is that, right?
It's funny, but, you know, anyway, you know, I've been blessed, you know, yeah. in that regard because, you know, high school sports are something that, you know, I truly believe in as far as what they do for schools and kids and communities, you know, and so I came out of a college sports information background where, you know, the emphasis and everything is totally different.
Right.
And but in high school sports, you know, that local feeling, you know, going out there on a Friday night and, you know, standing on the sidelines at games, being in a packed gym, you know, there's nothing like it. You know, I've said before, you know, I've been in a lot of big arenas,
right.
You know, but give me this small town gym. You know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Nothing like that. It's nothing. I always say, I mean, the reason why I love high school sports, John, is because of the close-knit atmosphere that it brings. You know,
that's
having
right.
that close-knit community come together and rally around the local basketball squad's journey to the state championship game. There's nothing like that. Nothing like that, John. Now, for you, over the years, how has high school sports become so important to you, and why?
Well, I think just because of the fact that we're teaching. And, you know, that one of the things that I found important in that, Al, is that conference that, you know, you and I did a couple of weeks ago
right.
with Audrey Dahlgren from WLNS.
Right.
It gives us an opportunity to give back and help educate, like what we're in, either in PR or communications or broadcasting. You know, I think it's become more important over time as we've started to do things with digital media and our own school broadcasting program,
mm-hmm.
where we have schools like Hazlitt that are deeply involved in that, you know, on a local basis, and about 80 other schools around the state.
Right.
But also just the chance to, you know, watch some of these kids. Sometimes you get a chance to see them come through two championships. You see them grow a little bit from here to there,
right.
or from sport to sport. I'm terribly partial to multi-sport athletes.
Exactly.
And, you know, so I love to see a kid who comes through and, you know, maybe, you know, he's the star running back or she's the star point guard.
Right.
But when softball or baseball comes, maybe they're hitting, you know, ninth in the lineup, you know, or maybe they're, you know, maybe they're just a kid who warms up the pitcher.
Right.
But you get a chance to see those kids and to see them grow through school sports. You know, that's stuff that's kind of fun. And then you get a chance to see them sometimes in different ways when they go to college. Maybe they're not an athlete, but maybe they found something down a life path. You know, you get this call, Mr. Johnson, do you remember when I did this?
Yeah.
And, you know, that in itself is a great reward to be able to know that while, you know, you're not the person who's out there coaching them or doing anything, and those are terribly, terribly tough jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to coach kids and teach kids these days. But to just have some involvement behind the scenes.
Right.
And, you know that, hey, in some small part, you know, you had a chance to watch them when they were growing up. That's fun.
Seeing that evolution is certainly beyond important and very, very cool to see over time. And speaking of evolution, from the media standpoint, the way high school sports is covered, that's exactly what you and I talked about at the Michigan mm-hmm. Association of Broadcasters Conference a few weeks ago. The evolution of, you know, sports coverage in general, but specifically at the high school level, you've got a chance of seeing that, you know, firsthand, dating all the way back now to 29 years ago, John. Where and which areas has high school sports coverage evolved over time?
Well, I think we have more attention in some ways
mm-hmm.
than ever before. And even as the news hole in traditional media has shrunk, you know, whether that's print or on television, you still have a lot of radio broadcast of games out there.
Right.
You have all kinds of new media which has sprouted up. You know, MLive has replaced in digital form what the Grand Rapids Press and the Bay City Times and the Flint Journal used to do on a very broad printed scale.
Right.
Not unusual to pick up a Grand Rapids Press on a Saturday morning, one of my favorite reads if I could ever get one, and see 4 and 5 pages of high school sports
okay.
coverage.
Right.
And you know, now that's all digital. And it's being served up, as we know, in a whole new way. So now, not only are you dealing with people who write, but photographers had more responsibilities than ever before. They're forced to do, I shouldn't say forced to do, you know, they're required now to produce video.
Mm-hmm.
We contribute to some degree with all of that media by we make some of our resources available
mm-hmm.
To people. You know, and so that side has grown incredibly over time. But I mean, the days are gone where 40 radio stations used to be up in every nook and cranny of Jennison Fieldhouse.
Right.
And I know, because from when I was a student 45 years ago, I could find all the wires up in the top of the balcony where this radio station and that radio station had been.
Yeah.
But now we've got a 40-station radio network. Wow. Of our own that we produce ourselves, that still carry the games and provide that exposure for those kids and still try to keep high school sports front and center, at least in the markets where it matters most.
Exactly.
In the markets where you're not sharing the platform with a pro team or a college team. Lansing does still a pretty good job of giving us that blend of coverage of the pros, obviously of a Big Ten school, but then, we got two radio stations out on any given Friday night covering high school sports.
That's certainly true.
And the Journal does a good job of trying to keep up with all of them. You just have different ways now that you get to that information.
Now, as far as the MHSAA is concerned, how are you guys trying to push the envelope when it comes to high school coverage? I should say TV-wise, because I know you talked not too long ago about possibly, having a group of students at each school cover these games and stream them in live time. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mentioned Hazlitt earlier, is one of our schools that it's in our school broadcast program. Mason is another local school that's involved. And we've got schools of all sizes from around the state producing live content that on a given Friday night, you can go out and on a subscription basis with about half of that money going back to the school. If you buy the subscription, you can watch different contests from, you can watch freshman games, you can watch JV games, you can watch varsity games, whatever the school decides to produce on the MHSAA.tv.
Right.
And so we have a lot of that going on any given Friday night now. They help us out with some of our tournament coverage. And then, of course, when we're at venues like the Breslin Center and CompuWare Arena, we bring in our own crews to do video streaming of those championship events so that people can watch them. You're finding that you've got a lot of displaced partisans. As I like to say, Aunt Millie in Arizona. People who could never otherwise get to the game are able to take advantage of what we're streaming, either audio on a free basis or video on a paid basis, so that they can stay in touch with the games on a live basis. So we've been very aggressive with that, but we haven't abandoned cable because we're still partners with Fox Sports Detroit.
Exactly.
We haven't abandoned over-the-air radio because we had about 30 to 40 stations carry the boys' basketball finals and about 15 to 20 stations carry the girls.
Right.
So, we're committed to, all of the different platforms. Haven't gotten into over-the-top stuff yet, but I'm sure we'll get there sooner or later.
Now, when you do get there, I got to ask this, John. Is there any concern that this amount of coverage will take fans out of the stands at all?
We don't think so. The bigger threat to some of our tournaments, and let's use basketball as an example, the bigger threat is the NCAA men's tournament.
Okay.
Let's face it, that's the bottom line. Michigan is one of the latest tournaments in the country. Just because of the way our calendar works out, we go deeper into the NCAA tournament than almost any other state, because I talk to my comrades from other states, says, why don't you finish up before the conference tournaments start and whatnot? Because we got 20 games we got to get in.
Right.
And
right.
We can't start until after football is over.
That's true.
So I think the NCAA tournament probably does more to affect our attendance. And just like I mentioned a moment ago, any of these live media is more focused at the parent who's on the road. The person who could otherwise never get to the game now has that access.
Right.
And in spite of what some of the pro teams and college teams say, television is not, there's not a single study out there that shows that live television affects attendance.
Right.
Nothing out there. I did some research about 7 or 8 years ago. Closest thing I came up with was something in England soccer that talked about, hey, fans went to fewer away games. Of course they're going to go to fewer away games.
Duh. Yeah, come on.
So, no, we don't think it affects the attendance. And so we think that we're performing a valuable outreach by having these media platforms available to people.
You talk about the basketball tournaments competing directly, of course, with March Madness. Are there any talks with you guys about possibly pushing things up a notch?
That would be hard to do.
Okay.
Given the way the calendar works, and if you get too many snow days in there, and we had some schools trying to recover from snow days this year. So I think you'd have to alter the calendar and push it back, not just through the winter, but through the fall, if you wanted to try to end your schedule any earlier than we do right now, which And most years, it's the third weekend of March that the boys' tournament is concluded. But this year, and I think another year or two down the line, we're going to be on that fourth weekend. We're going to be on regional men's weekend instead of being on that first round when both the men and the women get the tournament underway. We've had years where we've been on the Final Four weekend.
Oh, boy. That's tough. Yeah. That is certainly tough. And there's only so much you can do, right?
That's right.
You just have to evolve every single year, right?
That's right.
John, before I let the 12 men get at you, I want to ask you this as well. How is the MHSAA prepping its athletes for possible student-athlete life at the collegiate level?
The first thing you have to remember is that one kid out of 100 is going to get a bona fide college athletic scholarship.
It's very rare, I know.
It's very, very rare. So that's the first thing that you have to remember. But having said that, we have been partnered with the Basketball Coaches Association of Michigan now for a number of years in running a Reaching Higher program, which identifies 100 to 120 kids to come in for a midsummer showcase, a day-long thing of not just games, because you can go to any showcase and that's all they're going to do all day long is run them through games.
Right.
But we'll run the kids through some evaluations as far as some agility drills, some jumping drills, but then they get a few hours of life at the next level.
Okay, they do.
And they get some talking to about the recruiting process and what's expected of them in college. And so it's an eye-opener for the kids and it's an eye-opener for the parents. We bring in somebody from an NCAA member institution to talk to the extent that they can talk about. Shane Battier did it a couple of years ago at our Boys Reaching Higher Clinic.
Oh, there you go, Country Day,
so, right? Yeah, and so, so we've done some things like that. We've also done some things to promote student leadership on a broader scale. So let's take the other 99% for whom the Breslin Center is the biggest stage that they'll ever play on.
Right.
We've done some things with captain's clinics and some training that student leaders can take back to their schools to reach out to not just athletes, but to reach out to general fans.
Right.
And to try to educate them on the different things that are expected of them as leaders. Teamwork, hard work, sportsmanship.
Right.
You know, and those are some of the life skills, you know, that we find very, very important and that need to be taught through school sports. So on a couple of different levels, we're helping, at least right now in one sport, the kids who are the cream and who have the best chance of moving on. We're trying to provide programming for them, and then we're trying to provide programming that teaches about student leadership and life skills for a lot of other kids.
So valuable. I really hope there's a trickle-down effect to possibly other sports as well. Really appreciate that, John. All right, well, John, you got five more minutes?
I do.
Stick around, my man, because the 12 man starts right now. Alrighty, well, it is my favorite part of the show where I stop barraging my guests with questions and you get a chance too. This week for the 12th man, we are going to go social media on you, facebook.com/currentsports and even my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR. The fans out there of John Johnson have a lot of intriguing questions for
you.
All
right.
You ready?
Let's get to it.
First one, Jalen from Corona wants to know, would the MHSAA ever consider switching venues for the football and basketball state finals game?
Switching venues.
Going away from the Braves, going away from Ford Field.
Well, if you consider that on the fourth weekend of November, most people like to be indoors. We don't have very many choices. We could go to Marquette, or we can be outside. And we're outside for our eight-man final at Greenville. And the wind chill was about 5 below 0 when we had the championship game. And I was on the sideline for that game last year.
Right,
and
says,
well, that's cold. Basketball, University of Michigan has been a host before from 74 to 90. Great venue. But the last time the bidding war was on, it was nip and tuck. And then there was some guy from the UP who made an impassioned pitch to the administration here that kept the games on campus.
So time had a lot of hand in it.
Who?
So we won't say it directly.
So we won't say that directly, but everything is always subject to review. Just today, in fact, we announced that McGurk Arena, the old Rose Arena at Central Michigan University, will now be the home for the next 2 years of our team wrestling finals.
Oh, wow.
And that's after about 27 years of that event at Kellogg Arena.
Okay.
In Battle Creek. So it is something that we look at. We're a business. we've got to look at a bottom line, even though we're a nonprofit.
Right.
And we've got to try and find the best deals that are out there to us. But Mid-Michigan is a great venue. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that it's smack dab in the middle. It's easy for everybody to get to.
Right.
But don't ever rule out the chance that the games could go back someday to Chrysler Arena.
All right. Well, time will certainly tell. All right, John, we only got time for one more here.
Okay.
I want to throw this. This one comes from me. Okay.
All right.
The best high school player you've seen that did not pan out at either in college or the pros. Who is it?
Well, there are two players that I look at. One who made an unfortunate choice to go early. That was Marcus Taylor from Waverly. And it's easy to second guess from the stands.
Right.
But his career just didn't pan out. And then somebody who had all the signs of being a two-sport athlete professionally, Drew Henson, after having a a great career at Brighton High School,
right,
and then the two-sport career at Michigan, was never able to be successful either as a player in the gridiron or on the baseball diamond, with the Yankees or with the Cowboys.
All right.
And so, those are two people that come to mind right away when you say that.
Who wins the national championship really quick?
I got to go with my heart on this one. I got to say Sparty.
Sparty, he's going with Sparty.
I got to go with Sparty.
How about that? John Johnson is predicting that Michigan State will win the national championship. How about that? Everyone is sort of buying in, I guess you can say. But, man, was that a fantastic interview or what? I mean, John Johnson, the one, the only, the quote-unquote hardest working man in high school sports. Thanks a lot, John, for sitting down with me. Again, you can catch that tonight at 10 p.m. on WKR-TV. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you and talk about Justin Verlander, Pistons, Wings. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at what exactly happened in sports history on this day. We dub it Throwback Thursday. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks. Yes, you hear the music. You hear the montage. It is time for Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. Well, today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. So what happened in sports history on April 2nd? Well, let's take you back to 1984. John Thompson, how about this? He became the first African-American coach to lead his team to the NCAA College Basketball Championship. How about that? I believe he was coaching for Georgetown at the time. So how about that? John Thompson, man, and now, of course, his son is now in the college basketball realm doing his thing as well. But, how about that? That's fantastic stuff. All right. Also, that same year in Baltimore, President Ronald Reagan, he threw out the first ball in the season opener between the Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox. How about that? Salute to President Reagan. 1985, the NCAA Rules Committee adopted the 45-second shot clock for men's basketball to begin the 1986 season. 45-second shot clock? I'm really glad that they've dwindled that down now to 35, but I still am a big, big component in possibly breaking that 35-second shot clock down to 24 in the college game. But hey, what do I know, right? 1986, Paul Coffey of the Edmonton Oilers, he scored his 47th and 48th goals of the year. He broke Bobby Orr's NHL record for most goals by a defenseman. Orr had scored 46 goals back in 1974-75. How about that? Salute to Paul Coffey. In 1995, the costliest strike in professional sports history ended when baseball owners agreed to let players play without a contract.
How about that? So that took place in 1995. And last but not least, in 2003, Alex Rodriguez. That's right, A-Rod, the beloved, beloved, quote-unquote, A-Rod, then of the Texas Rangers. He became the youngest player to hit 300 home runs. He beats Jimmy Fox's record by 79 days. How about that? And A-Rod has gone on this sort of apology tour before the Yankee season starts. And I believe the Tigers are actually playing the Yankees as we speak in spring training baseball. So how about that? Opening day is certainly just days away now. How about that? But right now it's the middle of the third. The Yankees and Detroit are all knotted up at Big Old Donut. So nothing to nothing. All right. All right. Well, that wraps up your Throwback Thursday events for this particular Thursday in sports history, April 2nd. How about that? To wrap up the show, 3 minutes left. Want to get quick thoughts, really, you know, speaking of the Tigers, of Justin Verlander. If you haven't heard, Justin Verlander, he was actually placed and will start the season on the disabled list. Now, Verlander has been dealing with a tricep strain, which had originally been thought of as just a cramp. The team expects Verlander to be ready for an April 12th start. This is the former Cy Young winner's first ever trip to the disabled list. Alex Sharg of Engineer here on Current Sports. What do you think about JV being injured to start the year?
Well, I think a prayer's been answered that it's not longer than April, for right now at least. But yeah, what a bad start. I mean, he is kind of that X factor to that team. Will he bounce back and get 15 wins? That's crucial for them, especially considering that pitching was their weak suit late in the season. And now you don't have Scherzer anymore. Justin Verlander has that expectation to be that dominant ace again. So big, big news. I mean, I've looked at my phone this morning. I saw it before we got here on the show. And yeah, that's definitely a break-in story that's got a big effect on the Tigers this year. What do you think, Al?
No, certainly I agree. Verlander has to stay healthy if the Tigers want success this year. If they're going to make any sort of push at the World Series, JV has to be that guy. Along with, you know, looking at, you know, David Price, Anibal Sanchez, and JV, those are the studs as far as the starting pitching rotation is concerned. Not great that JV is starting the year injured and placed on the disabled list. Now, again, Verlander has to be better than last season. He had a 15-12 record, only struck out 6.95 batters per nine innings. He allowed career highs in opponent slugging. That can't happen. The JV that we saw last year has to be better. And you also got to keep an account, you know, with an injury like this. Now, again, looking at it, again, this tricep strain was originally thought as cramps. If this was a JV of back in the day, a younger JV, I don't think this even will be a problem here. The fact that JV is 31 years old, you got to keep an account that as you get older, your body just isn't the same. So I don't know. I hope JV returns to form. Again, this doesn't look like something that's going to hold him out extensively, but at the same time, he still has 5 years, $140 million left on his contract. No excuses, JV. You got to perform. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time here on Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Alex and I are heading out to Indianapolis, Indiana, and heading to Lucas Oil Stadium where the Final Four will be taking place. We'll have a best-of show for you tomorrow. And again, keep it locked to WKAR.org for all of our coverage out there throughout the weekend in Indy. Take care. Have a fantastic Thursday. And be easy, people.